May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
Hymn 663.
Thank you. Shall we read together this morning from the Word of God, reading together Psalm 40 and 73, and then turning to the New Testament to read from the Second Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. I would declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul, to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Shall we now read together Psalm 73? Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are from thee shall perish. They that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy work. Shall we now just turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and read chapter 12, the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and reading together chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we accuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we will do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now to come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, almighty Lord God, we are found gathered together this morning in this place. And we pray, O Lord, that we are gathered in thy name. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt be in our midst, that thou wilt fill this place with the perfume of thine electing love and mercy to help deserving sinners, and that by thy power, O Holy Spirit, there might be that drawing near unto thee, the Father, through the merits and blood, the redeeming love and mercy of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And O Lord, might the power of the Lord Jesus Christ be found upon us, be in our midst. Might thou, Lord Jesus, reveal thyself unto us this day. O Lord, thou knowest how we each have come up unto thy house. Thou knowest the pathway of thy people, for thou dost ordain our pathway. Thou dost permit it. Thou dost order it. But, O Lord, we pray for thy people in the way that they walk, that thou wilt come to them. For thou knowest the cares, the anxieties. Thou knowest the feelings of thy people. For thou art that great high priest. Thou art that one able to succour, to support. And so we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come and bless us, Lord, in the way. That thou wilt come and reveal thyself, make thyself known. Melt our hard hearts. Touch us, Lord. O grant thy felt presence to be known in our hearts. O Lord, O turn our eyes upon thee and no other. And it may be, O Lord, those in that concern where there was no concern, in that cry, why am I thus? My soul, eternity, Lord, thy work begun. And, O Lord, where thy work is begun, we pray, oh, that there might be the opening of those blind eyes. Oh, that time of causing that one to cry unto thee, to venture upon thee. O Lord, hear the cries of thy crying, seeking, searching ones. And O Lord, any that sit unconcerned in these things, we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt bring into concern, We pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear those cries that go up. O Lord, for those that sit unconcerned, that there might yet be those to be born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. O Lord, those whom thou hast loved from all eternity, those in thy book, Lord, hear the cries of thy people, of parents, grandparents, and others, that thou wilt work. O Lord, the work is thine, salvation is all of thee. But O Lord, grant that labouring, that importunity, that coming again and again to thy throne. O Lord, that thou wilt work, that souls might be snatched, as it were, as that brand from the burning. O Lord, so we pray for thee to work in our midst this day. And as we come to thy word, O Lord, thou knowest the cries that have gone up, and thou knowest the cries yet to go up. But as we come to thy word in the opening of it, that thou wilt grant that much needed help to preach thy word, to set forth the truths contained therein, and that which is sown, O Lord, might it fall into hearts prepared of thee. O Lord, and might there be that for us to take home, to beat out, to feed our never-dying souls with the bread of heaven, the water of life. O Lord, grant us that. O we pray for our souls' good this day. O that thou, as we have prayed, might fill the place. O Lord Jesus. O that there might be that drawing nigh unto thee. There might be the lifting up of our eyes in that looking unto thee. Thou who art that one thing needful, thou who unto whom belongeth all honour and glory, thou, O Lord, that if we are thine, will be with thee for all eternity, to sing thy worthy name and praises, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Thou, O Lord, art worthy, and thou alone. So put thine arm about us, O Lord. O Lord, draw near to us, draw us unto thee, as we come to thy word. And O Lord, in the singing of the hymns, might thou use the means, and grant that help in the singing of them. And O Lord, we would commend unto thee this little corner of thy vineyard, that thou wilt grant that help to those with the responsibility of the place, that there might be the upholding of their arms and the answers to their prayers. O Lord, that thou wilt work in the souls of those that gather. O Lord, that thou wilt awaken, that thou wilt revive, that thou wilt teach. It may be, Lord, in that need of correcting, but, O Lord, that thou wilt keep them in, as a people, and grant them that oneness of spirit, that unity in thee, that love to thee, and no other, as thou didst first love us. And, O Lord, be with thy people where they gather throughout this world. We would be mindful to pray for thy true church, those of thy people that gather in persecution in those lands where there is that open hatred to thy people and to thee, O Lord. And yet, even in such lands, thou dost bring out from darkness unto that marvellous light, that thou dost work, and where thou dost begin that work, none can stop it. O Lord, the wonder of thine electing love and mercy to a people known of thee in all generations, and that time when that last one in thy book will be brought from darkness unto light, and that time when thou wilt come to judge. O Lord, that day will come. And we pray, O Lord, that it is our great concern to be ready, to be ready. O Lord, leave us not to lean upon anything save thee, Lord Jesus. So be with us now. Gather with us in this place. Lord, we would commend each one, young and old, unto thee, would bear before thee the children and the young people. O Lord, that thou wilt watch over them and keep them. O Lord, hear the prayers that go up in these things, as we would ask all things. And, O Lord, come and pray and beg the forgiveness of our every sin. O Lord, thou knowest. Lord, that heart and the sin and iniquity that is in us. O Lord, we look upon each other, but thou seest what is in us. Lord, wash, pardon our every sin. O, we pray in thy precious blood, Lord Jesus, and gather with us now as we ask all for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Hymn 133.
699.
Help us this morning. I would direct your thoughts to Psalm 73, Psalm 73, and reading together verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And in particular, the latter part of verse 26, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. we may use the expression that the Word of God is a living Word. Great mercy, sovereign mercy, electing love and mercy. If indeed this Bible, the Word of God that is before us, is a living Word unto a living soul, unto that one made alive by the power and through that of the Holy Spirit, through that work of salvation, made alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that heart, that enmity to the things of God by nature. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that soul, that heart, as that work of grace is begun, called to walk in the pathway that the Lord will have them to walk in, brought to that place as Saul of Tarsus was brought on the road to Damascus, as you know, as the account is in the Acts of the Apostles, his heart set on the destruction of the early church, his heart set on destroying that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And child of God, that heart that is in us, and yet in the purposes of Almighty God, in the covenant of electing love and mercy, in the sovereign choice of a people that no man can number, of every tribe, kindred and tongue. Saul of Tarsus, one loved from all eternity, one brought to that place, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so, in that work of grace in your heart, my heart, that walking out in the way that the Lord wilt have us to go. And as we said, as we started these thoughts, the Word of God, it may have been in our lives a word that we knew nothing of. Yes, we may have known there was such a thing as the Bible, but in our own case, that which we never read, aware of it, till that work begun in our hearts. Maybe those of you in this place brought up to read that word, and yet that time perhaps to look to the shutting of the book, to the leaving of it, till that time when in your heart there was that work begun. As in our text it speaks, the strength of my heart. And we read of one again in the Acts of the Apostles at Philippi, of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. As we may have said before, the work of grace in the heart of a sinner is that work begun within, that work within the soul, within the heart. And where there is that work begun within, where there is that melting of that hard heart, where there is that bringing of that soul to cry unto the Lord Jesus for mercy, for salvation, for the Lord to save, to redeem, then a desire to walk before the Lord in that love to Him as He first loved us. Oh yes, child of God, in that outward walk, oh, those things that may fear and tremble that we have done or said, that may have brought that dishonour to the Lord. But is there not that in your heart that draws you unto Him, that which cannot be broken, that which cannot be quenched? For that work is the Spirit's work, no other. And as we may have said before, if your walk is an outward walk, in the appearance of it, and no reality in your never dying soul is to your state before Almighty God, then it will prove to be as that one who built that house upon the sand and will not stand on that great and terrible day. And so is the work of grace has begun in the heart of the Lord's people. So there is that walking in that way that the Lord will have them to go. And there will also be this teaching, as Paul writes of it in the 7th of Romans, of that warfare within us, our own nature, in that love of self, that proud self, that love of sin, that love of the world, and the enemy of our souls, and that new nature, that work of the Spirit begun. And so, dear Paul brought to cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? And so the child of God, brought to those cries, those prayers unto the Lord, and the scriptures of truth, the Bible, the inspired word of God, as used by the Holy Spirit, brought to see those that have walked in that way, that recorded in the scriptures of truth, of that, especially in the Psalms and in other places, of the experience of the Lord's people, the way the Lord had led them, the places that they had come into. And so here in this psalm, that Asaph recorded is inspired of the Lord, of that in his pathway, of that place where his eyes were looking, and child of God. Those eyes of Asaph, looking as it were to those things around him, looking as it were to others. But as for me, oh, is there not mercy even in that verse, that second verse? Of those eyes that we have that look to circumstance, that try to work things out, try to sort it out in our own mind. But what a mercy. What a mercy. There is a hand that holds us. What a mercy that under you and me, dear child of God, if we are his, are those everlasting arms. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. But was there not that one that upheld? And it may be that you and I have known in our souls in that place. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But in the Lord's sovereign mercy, as we read later in this psalm, as we come to those verses that we have before us this morning, that bringing of the psalmist to turn those eyes, to look up unto the Lord. Paul wrote those words to the Hebrews of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And in the pathway, as in the pathway recorded here of Asaph in this place of looking, as it were, to the prosperity of those around. Looking to circumstances, we have said, perhaps in our own lives. And in the Lord's love to us, of bringing us to look unto him. And is it not, child of God, as the Lord worked in that heart of the mad Gadarene, that one that none could tame, and there may be those that feel that, if not in that outward state of that mad Gadarene, in your inward state, brought to his right mind, brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in that robe of righteousness. And here, the bringing of Asaph to his right mind, that work of the Holy Spirit to cause him to look beyond those things going on around him, to look beyond those trials, those tribulations, child of God, to look up unto the Lord, to look up to the sovereign ruler of the skies, to look up to that one who is the I am that I am, that one in whose hand is all things. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Child of God, these are not too strong words, are they? If we know anything of that unbelieving, sinful, rebellious heart that is in us. But oh, what a mercy, as we have said, that love of the Lord unto his people. And again, as Paul writes in the 8th of Romans, of that love of the Lord to his people, to you, to me, if we are his. And nothing, as he expounds those things, nothing can separate from that love. Oh, we may quote those words of Paul to the Philippians, that he that has begun that good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, another thing, when we are brought to bow the knee to the sovereignty of Almighty God in his purposes for us, in his will for us, in that pathway that he will have us to go. And when the Lord brings us to that place of bowing the knee before him, it will bring us to submission. It will bring us to obedience. It will bring us truly to that place, thy will be done. It will bring us to that place of that trusting in him, that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Nevertheless, says Asaph, nevertheless I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Those turning of those eyes from looking to those clouds of doubt, fears, anxiety, unbelief. Those bringing of those eyes to look up unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That looking up to that one thing needful. That bringing of him to these words. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth I desire beside thee. The Lord, whilst upon the earth, as you may recall, came to that house at Bethany. Martha, going around, no doubt wanting to do that for the Lord. Mary, at the feet of Jesus. The Lord speaks those words, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about with much doing. But concerning Mary, that concern for that one thing needful. Oh, we may have sung the words of that hymn, Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. But child of God, is it not in the Lord's dealings with us, to bring us to that teaching, Not in the head, no. In that reality in our heart, in that strengthening of our heart, that Jesus is indeed that one thing needful, no other. And again, we may have sung the lines of that hymn, I could from all things parted be, except, dear Lord, from thee. Another thing, is it not, to be brought to that place? We do not usually say personal things, but recently we looked upon our dear one in bed, early in the morning, and it came to me that one day one of us will look, and the other will not be there. I can from all things parted be, except, dear Lord, from thee. And remember, dear saint, brought down with cancer in her face, the loss of her eye, her cheek, all that taken away. Sitting with her, and she said, I can hold all these things now with a loose hand. And I believe that as we go on, and many of us now, certainly lot less years upon this earth than we have had, 10, 20, who knoweth, maybe even less, to be right, to be prepared. The Lord said, did he not? I go to prepare a place for you. And we may use the expression heaven, that prepared place for a prepared people. But do we believe it as we journey on? And it may be that in our hearts, those number of years the Lord has been with us, watched over us, others in that way, perhaps a shorter time. Oh, that we may feel to be indeed as that dear woman. We've grown nothing better, only worse. But oh, what a mercy. If we know anything of the reality of these words before us, whom have I in heaven but thee? Thee, Lord Jesus, thou the one thing needful. And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee, none. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, and it shall ever be. What a mercy. What a mercy. That the Lord should love sinners, such as you, such as me. His sovereign choice, nothing of us. Love because he would love. Yea, I have loved, said the Lord, with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. A dear tossed child of God, can you not echo Can you not sing of that loving kindness, the greatness of it? Was not David brought to that place? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And O child of God, it will also be this, I believe, to praise him for his unchangeable love, his unchangeable mercy. My flesh and my heart failed, but God, no other is the strength of my heart. Margin reads, the rock, God, is the strength, the rock of my heart. That work begun, if it is real in you, in me, is that work of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is that work of Almighty God. It is that work that he will perform. It is that work that he will prove to you, to me, that he is our shield. He is our strength. He is our help. And our thoughts went to that place of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. That strength that is in the Lord. And the Lord, whilst upon this earth, spoke those words concerning himself as that rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. O child of God, if you and I are built upon that rock, we will be indeed complete in him. It will be that place of shelter. It will be that cover, as the scripture uses that word to speak of a hiding place, a secret place, a place of safety. A place of shelter. And it will be that proving that God, but my God, but God is the strength of my heart. And in that teaching, child of God, of us in the pathway, it will also be to show us the foolishness of trusting to ourselves. The foolishness of trusting to creature strength and ability. It will be in that bringing of us down to this place in the dust, and that bringing of our eyes to look up unto him. And in the experience of the psalmist, I will lift mine eyes up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And what a mercy if you and I, if our eyes are brought from looking to the creation, and brought to look unto the Creator of the heavens and the earth, brought to look unto Almighty God, to call upon Him, to prove Him to be our strength, to prove Him to be our help. And we read together that portion in the 2 Corinthians of Paul writing of that he had known in the experience of it, and that thorn in his flesh. Many have tried to surmise what that might have been. But child of God, doth not the Lord, as it were, use those thorns in the flesh, in the lives of his people? You know what that is in your life. Why? Is it not to humble us? Is it not to bring us down? Is it not, I believe, as James writes of it, of that bringing of us down, that he giveth grace unto the humble, the proud, he knoweth afar off. And child of God, that bringing down of that proud nature in you, in me, to bring us humble at his feet, that he giveth more grace. And as the Lord spoke to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That bringing down of self, that trusting in him, in that strength of the Lord, in that help, in that support. What for, child of God, to go on in that way that the Lord will have us to go? That strength to continue. That bringing of us to cry unto him, to look unto him, and that strength found, oh, not of ourselves, do not get me wrong, that strength and that leaning upon him, that trusting in him. And there is that beautiful picture, figure, if we might use those words, in the Song of Solomon, of the church, coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, O child of God. And is it not that strength in him, that leaning upon him? And those times in the pathway when the Lord comes to revive us, to strengthen us, to support us. But it is this also in those words of the Lord to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. That sufficiency given of the Lord. Oh, if we could, we often think of those children of Israel as they gathered that manna, those that thought perhaps they'd gather a little bit more so they would have something in store, and how it stank. And child of God, perhaps there is that in our lives, that we look back in the folly of it, of thinking that we could have something in store, something of our own strength that we could hold and use. But oh, in that mercy, and it may have been in that chastising hand of the Lord, the bringing down of all that we would lean upon, to bring us to his feet. My flesh and my heart faileth. And so it is, so it is. But our mercy is that having loved his people, and having loved them, he loved them unto the end. That mercy that we spoke of, that David felt. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that Psalm 138, I think it is, that has that refrain of that mercy that endureth forever. And what a mercy. Enduring mercy, everlasting mercy. But God is the strength of my heart, for it is then that heart that work is begun. And it is in that heart, in that soul, that work will be performed unto the end. And my portion forever, forever, for all eternity. For as we have said, our time upon this earth is but for a moment. Perhaps you talk one to another and wonder where the year has gone even thus far. Perhaps look back and wonder where the years have gone. Perhaps those that think there are many years still ahead of them. But that time will come when we will be no more upon this earth. What a mercy if we have one that we can speak of, not of us, but of that work of grace in our hearts, and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but, O my soul, Look up. Look unto Jesus. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Lord pardon what we said amiss, but might there be that for us to feed upon of his love and mercy unto such as you and me. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £780, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who also will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, if the Lord will. And the collections today are for the Christian Institute, with special reference to the Asher's Bakery case. Let us close with hymn number 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. Hymn 762.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord God, part us with thy blessing. Pardon what thou hast seen amiss in us, Lord. Grant that for our souls to feed upon. O Lord, thou the one thing needful. Watch over us as during the interval and in travelling. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union and communion of God the Holy Spirit abide with us each, both present and absent, both now and forever. Amen.